sir.
Oh, look at us go. Yep. Alright, we're back. Been a pee-pee break. We've had some prawns. Refilled on the beer. Had some chips. And Matheny's manifesto.
Mike Matheny.
His manifesto. You were saying it. He was coaching his kids, 12U team, had some issues with parents, and sent out a 3-page email. Take the reins. What does this entail, and like, why has it become what it is now?
The book itself is one of my favorite books, but it starts with the letter, and it was basically him writing the parents, letting them know that you yelling from the stands, telling him to put his head up, or you know, pick his elbow up, or to stop swinging at balls.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't, you know,
at their own kids, or
no, well, I mean, this is like little league parenting in general. It happens, right?
12-year-olds.
I mean, I've been to the Davis little league fields, and like I hear these things too, like
some ruthless shit.
Yeah, and even if it's not ruthless, it's just like it's coaching from the stands.
You're talking shit to about the other kids. Like, this is a kid trying to play a game. You're gonna heckle them?
No, or your own kid even. Like, think like
You're
in the box, and the, you know, or somebody's in the box, and their parents are trying to coach them while they're like hitting. You know, it happens all the time.
Did you ever get that from Dave? Just like, Ray, you piece of shit. Like, no. Dad, I'm six.
No, my dad
little
was,
piece of shit
was the opposite. If he wasn't coaching actively, like he was like in right field.
Your dad was one of my favorite coaches. Just he was truly going from total non sequitur, from Schmitty, who's just about the win and only the win, which. I respect him for that. Yep. His coaching philosophy. To your dad, where his philosophy on this summer league baseball team, get everybody playing time, as much playing time as possible. Let's develop these kids.
Yeah.
Sure, we want to win, but these kids getting playing time is what's most important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was about
summer
it.
League, for sure.
Summer league, yeah.
That's what it's about.
But Matheny,
yeah.
He laid down the law. What did you get from it? What are you vibing with?
I don't know. This one.
There it is.
So I just really like his idea of like you can show support, but the best supportive parents are the ones that are like there no matter what for their kid.
Mm-hmm.
Strive for them to get better, but like don't let your emotions or like your day hinge around how good your child does too,
right?
Because like that puts more pressure on them. You know what I'm saying?
And
like,
that always sucks. I always got nervous my parents just being there, but parents are going to be there regardless.
Right.
Suck it up. Because I want to perform, but I don't want to fail them. And that's tough. You don't want to fail yourself. That pressure sucks.
Sure.
And when you're playing loose, when it's fun as hell, like when we're winning the adult slow pitch softball championship game, when we're winning that shit, I knew we were going to lose. That was the most fun, present, in the moment I've almost ever had playing baseball or softball.
Yeah.
It was just...
Why do you think that, though?
It was like all of us were performing. We were feeding off each other's positive energy, our vibes, all about the vibes these days. And it's just, I knew we would not fail. We were having fun doing it. Everybody was like just doing their job. Everybody made a play that game.
All it was insane.
Positions. Hit, I didn't hit that well, but you, Emac, Jordy, Danielle improved defensively. Like everybody was just playing the best game possible, and it was just cool. All of us kind of being on the same heartbeat, same wavelength.
Yeah.
It was unique. It was different. We were just savages.
Yeah.
And we won the holy hell out of that game.
No.
It was perfect.
Such a good time. I'm so excited for this year.
Yeah. I'm excited. We'll repeat.
Yeah.
That's my forecast. I'm not going to jinx us. We'll get underneath. We got the nice protective.
I feel good.
Protective here. But Matheny's manifesto, dealing with parents, like that, for the coaches too, for his own sanity. I bet he was pissed off when he wrote this email to all the parents.
Yeah. I mean, he's coming out of like coaching in, you know, or playing in the big leagues, I can't remember which at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like the big leagues to like, you know, 11, 12 year old travel baseball, like it's a little different.
It is, I'd say.
And so like I think it was probably a little bit eye opening, especially if he hadn't had kids before or been through the travel ball scene in however many years he'd been in the league at the time. To get to like how aggressive some youth parents are.
Why do you think they're so aggro? I mean, this kind of beckons back to what we were talking about earlier about high school immaturity, kind of sticking with people. I have my moments. I'm not perfect. But these parents who are parents, you're supposed to be better than that. Like, why do you think these people are acting the way they are? It's insane.
I mean, the love you have for your kid is like, I'm sure, undeniable or unbeatable, for right? Sure. Like, it's got to be a different kind of, like,
sure.
You know, want for them to succeed, mm-hmm. and a want for them to not be done wrong, right? And
I've seen a video of a man walk up and punch a Little League umpire in the face.
That was
a pair of. Yeah. I mean, that is an isolated incident. But just that sure. there's
but I don't
variations
think it is.
Of that. No, probably not.
I don't know if it is.
Or other opposing coaches getting into it. So I feel for Mason Hurst. Shout out to Mason. Hey. Oh, I love Mason. Great, great marinating nut he is.
Yes.
Of just some of the bullshit that he and other parents deal when there's another parent who's just acting an absolute fool.
Yeah.
They're just douches in every sense of the word. And trying to keep your cool when they're maybe even disrespecting their own kids that they're coaching and just making a mockery of themselves and just causing a ruckus. It's hard to see that and, like, do nothing.
Yeah.
It's like you have to keep that person in check. And I don't know. I would just – I don't look forward to confrontation. I try to avoid it.
Yeah, at all costs.
At all costs.
I do too.
But at a point when another parent is going AWOL, I don't know. There, at a point in time, I think – you got to step in and talk. Mason said that he had to talk with this guy.
Yeah.
It got very confrontational because of this guy. Mason is, he is not someone who's looking for
seem
a fight.
He does not seem confrontational.
Not at all. He's the one who de-escalates.
Yeah.
And so if this guy has an issue with you and trying to talk you off the ledge of just what you're doing, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
Lighten
don't
up. Know. Lighten people, up. Jesus Christ.
People, yeah, they're trying, if you try and live vicariously through your kid, whether that's your own, you know, like want for them to succeed, or you didn't make it yourself and you wanted them to have it better than you, which is, I'm sure, like, a normal thing. Like, you want your kid to be better than you were. Like, I don't even have kids. That's what I think about. Like, sure, right? Like, but if you take it too far, if you take it to the point of, like, I'm paying this money for these lessons for you to be good. Why aren't you good?
Yeah.
Like, you know, or...
I bet those parents would do... Absolutely, your parents.
Sure, I'm sure there are.
Tell their kid that.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. And then, how does that make the kid feel if he doesn't perform that day? Well, dad's mad because he's wasting money on me,
and it's no longer fun.
Right. It doesn't become. It becomes a job at 12. Yeah. Right.
Or
8 in some instances.
Baseball is always fun. Always.
Right.
I didn't get to, like, the highest level. I mean, all throughout high school, I mean, there's high stakes and standards and pressure. But at the end of the day, it was like you're living life, like, in the moment. Baseball is just like any sport.
It's
very present. It's a sport. It's awesome. It's fun. It never felt like a job. I'm happy that Benny and Debbie were some of your folks. Like, they wanted me to succeed. I'd ask my pops after games, football games, basketball, like, hey, how can I improve? What'd you see?
Yeah.
He'd give me honest answers, but it's at no point did I feel like I was failing him or was there any extra added pressure from my folks?
Right. Or, you know, they're proud of you when you did well. Like,
yeah.
You wanted to make them more proud. Like, that was my thought too. Like, I loved playing the game and they were proud of me when I did well.
Yeah.
So, like, were they disappointed in me when I did bad? No. Like, it's a sport.
They're like more, it's like, damn, Ray's going to be upset.
Yeah,
that's what they're more upset about.
I was always going to be harder on myself than they were going to be on the
Yes,
exactly.
Your folks have been some of the most chill people. They've never been in the red. It was always cool, calm, and collected. Not that I've seen. Of course not. You and Joe. I don't care about you and Joe.
They don't get there that often. And they never. I haven't seen.
Only ever been good vibes.
I wouldn't even say my mom ever gets to red, probably. Okay.
But I've seen your pops at the landfill from time to time.
Yeah.
Just like, Dave, my man, what's going on?
Every time he says he sees you, he's like, yeah, talk to Aaron. I let him know. Like,
hey.
Hope you're doing well, and it's great to see him.
We out here, baby.
Yeah,
your folks.
Dude.
They live a retired life pretty well?
They love it.
Yeah,
they both fought it. I mean, my mom probably worked a little bit longer than she needed to. Mm. My dad definitely did. But they're now like... They have the dog, and they're like so happy.
Yeah. You gotta have that retirement dog.
Sure.
Multiple of them.
Yeah, just live the, like, don't feel pressured to get things done for other people anymore. Like, you don't have to.
Well, that generation, my pops is the same way, and my mom, and just when there's work ethic, when you care about your work ethic and what you do, no matter what it is, work is part of their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, hopefully they have some kind of hobby or something that will keep them waking up, keep them getting up. Because if all you have to do all day is sleep, you're gonna die. You're not gonna be around very long if you have no purpose.
Is your mom retired yet? Are she close?
I mean, she still does the books for the company and stuff, but she's busy taking care of the Tahoe house, being a grandma. She's always
semi-retired. A self-proclaimed
domestic diva.
Nice.
She's always she's always got something. She's always got schemes and steady girls. Schemes.
And your dad is close to you, or he doesn't know if he's ever gonna retire?
Retired on paper, but he'll come out to the landfill from time to time, run some equipment and stuff.
Good.
It's good for him.
Yeah, for sure.
He also focus on making cornhole boards or something like that. But hey, they're trying.
He enjoys
they're
being around his family, dude.
I guess so. It's wild. It's a wild
weird thing.
Being out there, man. Getting to know some of the truck drivers has been pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like talking to these guys.
You see the repeats, huh?
Absolutely. All waste management guys and some recology guys. Okay. It's because we never used to check their tickets as they came through, because we just point, they know what to do. They're backing up to the trash and doing their thing. But now that we've had to check their tickets over the past 5 to 6 months, I'm like, hey, what's going on, man? How you doing? And like some of them are kind of goofy. This one dude, Gerald, I'm like, man, why you always wear that sweatshirt? He's always in a hoodie. In a hoodie. He has big old dreads and always in like Ray Charles sunglasses. He's like, I'm allergic to wasps and stuff like that. So that explains that. And he said the conversation will go a different direction. So he said, oh, my tractor is caught on fire a couple of times. I'm like, no shit. He says he got caught on fire one time and he got injured the second time because some guy was like, hey, man, I'll pray for you. But every time he said he'd pray for him, some bad shit would happen. So I don't know. Wow. It's wild the stories these guys have, where they come from, getting to know them a little bit. It's different.
Wild M. Night Shyamalan type book for you here.
What's that?
It's a Black Mirror-esque version of the job that you're at right now. Ooh. But every time you spark up a story where somebody is feeding you the story, you jump into their body for 24 hours.
You just come up with this?
Right now.
You animal!
So give me the story.
That. Oh, so is it... Like, I'm thinking you go into their head, and then from that point, you live their life for 24 hours.
Yep. And then when it's done,
you like snap back to that one spot, but you're in... like. You feel what they feel, and maybe you have their memories.
Yeah, they're with you now.
Oh, my God. I've always kind of... That's an awesome prompt, by the way. So, hey, shifting gears, complete non-sequiturs. have you thought about writing any fiction or anything? Like, after you're done with this manual, like, are you still going to practice this unsung art of writing?
I enjoy writing. I always have, but I've never like been like longer form writing. It's
little short stories like that.
Yeah, like short stuff like that seems very cool to me.
How would you see that scenario going? You're hopping in someone's life for 24 hours.
I think it would be cool if like when you came out, like
China.
I don't know. Like say like you lived in this guy's head and he went through a heartbreak in the day that you were.
Oh fuck!
Like you kept that heartbreak with you.
Would you?
You know,
that's a cool concept, by the way. It would be difficult, but would you still know that you're you, even though you're feeling yourself as this person, or would you lose yourself?
No, I think part of you is like, you know what's happening, like because you've been around it, like at the point in the story.
But you can isolate your presence and live this person's life.
Yeah, you're in it. Like you're always kind of like you're not fully up to speed with the situation, obviously.
Yeah,
but like. Nothing ever really seems to go that wrong because your body just jumps back to you in 24 hours and you're back at the fill again, you know?
What if you jump into it? So is this a power that the character was born with and know they can do? Or like can they do it consciously, or is it just random?
No, I think it's random. I think it's they've known they've had it their whole life, but when somebody starts telling them a story about something, that for some reason that's just what clicks it.
What if? So I'm talking to somebody at the landfill guy, how's it going? Really nice guy. Pop into his head, I'm living his life, and I'm like, I need to murder this person. Say they're like on, my to-do list is dump this trash or whatever, go back and murder the girlfriend who's cheating on me or whatever. And you got to live that, like you probably feel that fury, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you act on it?
That's the cart, right? Like it's like, or do you go, like I see this guy's plan is to go kill somebody right now.
What if it's the president?
Like, or maybe it's to kill you. Right? As the landfill guy. Like, it's somebody you've known for a while, but they've been plotting your murder and you happen
dude,
to
dude, don't tell me the... that. Dude, I feel like I provide excellent customer service.
You know?
Dude, that's That'd be wild. What? All right. What happens if you die within the 24 hours that you're in this person's life? You snap back.
I think you snap back, but with like you've lost a part of you at that point.
If you do die.
Yeah.
And if you survive, what are you carrying with you? Some of the emotional drawback.
I think the emotional drag. I think like if you go through like if you go through some emotional breakup in this guy's life, I think that emotional heaviness is just stuck with your body. When you're in your normal,
does it for however age long. You? Like, do you get the experience, or are you always like feeling sad, or does it subside after a certain amount of time?
I think it does fade out.
You have like a bandwidth of like you can't just do this to like 10 different people at a time.
No. But like you're gone for 24 hours, so like you couldn't, right?
What
so
happens
like,
to your body?
I think it just. No, I don't think you switch. I don't like that as
no,
much.
No, no, no. It's
but
like
I think
Freaky Friday.
You just. Your friends all think you're this, like kind of like a...
Having an off day.
Yeah, just going through the motions kind of guy.
Autopilot.
Which is when you get back, like, you have all this emotional baggage that you can't communicate with anybody about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you're still kind of on autopilot even when you're there. So it just feels normal.
What if... That could be kind of a drawback to this thing that, okay, I'm going to switch my consciousness to this person for 24 hours, but my body is going to go through the motions, do what it does, but maybe it's unable to speak, and you have to come up with excuses and pre-plan who you jump into.
Exactly. Your wife's getting upset because you keep, like disappearing.
Once
or
a month, there's like, what happens? You go into a hotel room, or maybe you give your somehow a to-do list for your body once you leave it that it's going to, all right, finish work. Yeah, exactly. Autopilot, go to a hotel room, stay the night for the consciousness to come back. Can you, if it's less than 24 hours, can you say, all right, I'm done with this. I don't want to live this person's life anymore.
No, I don't think you get to choose. I think you're just sucked in. It's just part of, like, your being. When somebody starts telling you a story or an emotional, you know.
Are there any specific triggers or could there be?
I think you'd have to ride that one. Just find what fits in.
This could be easily a series on.
I think it'd be sick.
HBO Max. That'd be uncontrollable. Do you? What happens when you meet someone like you, or you're stuck for more than 24 hours in someone's body?
I think that's late season one, maybe season two. Right?
Maybe is there a bad guy who just murders people? Like, I'm not going to be in trouble for this. Take me to the electric chair. You could do wild stuff if you're in control, control someone's life.
First time you actually, you know, like die as like you're hit by a car in their body, what happens?
Maybe you feel it all.
You feel it all?
Or maybe, I mean, if there's only 24 hours, like if you're in a coma or something like something horrendous that kind of disrupts the rules.
You get back
and
you don't have use of your left arm for some reason, like in your normal body. Mm-hmm. That's the residue that's stuck to you.
Speaking of left arm, shout out. So, going back to Dragon Ball Z a little bit.
Okay.
Future Gohan.
See, hold on. Let's go to Dragon Ball Z.
Please.
I grew up on Dragon Ball Z. Watched Dragon Ball, which is the original, all the way through.
I never did.
It's
solid?
Well worth it.
Worth it?
Yes.
Okay.
Well worth it. So, it'd start with Dragon Ball, go through Dragon Ball Z. I just recently finished up Dragon Ball Z. Which, when I originally had seen it, I think I'd seen all the episodes, but definitely forgot the back.
For sure.
25 episodes.
The Buu Saga was a little lost to me.
Yes. Yeah, so I just finished Buu Saga.
Mm-hmm.
And left the last two episodes, which are technically the end of, like, the entire series. I jumped in at Dragon Ball Super, which is the first. So Future Gohan and all that, I think, is in Dragon Ball Super.
Really?
Which I've never seen.
Oh, when he fights against the androids and shit.
Oh, no.
That Future Gohan.
That's Trunks.
The Trunks saga. Oh, what happens to Trunks? That is such a devastating, like, just tragic story. What a cool story for a character. I'm from the future. This is what happens to all you guys if you don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to living a life or maybe prevent things when you're in your, like, the story you're talking about.
Yeah.
But this, I guess my, with Gohan, Future Gohan's left arm gets... He doesn't have it. It's gone. Lost in a fight against the androids. And then when young Gohan in the future, not the future, but present time, when he's fighting against Cell, his arm is dead.
Right.
And like, I don't know when I made that connection. It's like, holy shit. Like the arm's useless, but young Gohan was able to get the job done against Cell.
Yeah.
Epic battle. But how'd you like super Like, what happens after Dragon Ball Z? Have you seen anything that tickles you the way Dragon Ball Z tickled you?
I've seen one episode.
And
I haven't... And I saw it 2 days ago, so I haven't, like, had a whole lot of time to jump in.
Indeed.
The animation is different. It's definitely updated.
It's, like, cleaner, right?
It's definitely cleaner. Mm-hmm. A little more detailed. I think a lot of people seem to really like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see how it goes. Typical Dragon Ball, typical Dragon Ball slow, like, start, kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
But I think by, like, the sixth episode, it's, like, rolling, so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I figured I'd give it a shot, because it's after, it's within the time, because Dragon Ball Z goes up until a point, and then the last couple episodes are 10 years in the future. They have a little reunion.
Yeah, so they kill off Boo. Fat Boo stays, and it's like 6 months later when they wipe the memories of like the rest of the human race from Boo.
Oh, did they? That's he's just a lovable pink oaf.
Yeah, so he's just that, you know, now. Mm-hmm. And I think GT is supposed to pick up sometime in that window after that, before the last two episodes of Dragon Ball Z, which are like 7 years down the road.
Mm-hmm. Or Super?
Super goes right in between that episode and then... The very last
Goku,
two.
When you really think about it, he's a terrible dad. And sure. After fighting the world with his friends and stuff, pretty sure the last couple episodes are like, Goku, you haven't talked to us in 10 years or 7 years, however it's been. He's just, oh, sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Always scratch the back of his head. He knocks up Chi Chi before he dies. Knowing, do you think he knew he knocked her up? And then he's like, hey, don't wish me back. Don't wish me back. I don't want to deal with fatherhood. This sucks.
You know,
terrible dad.
His reasoning in that episode was, even King Kai says, like, if they wish me back, because I'm so strong, we're just going to bring more destruction because I'm around. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Pretty arrogant, if you ask me. He thinks he's the main guy.
Yeah.
I guess he is.
But. I don't know. I really... Part of the Dragon Ball story and, like, lore is just, like,
Saiyans.
I enjoy it a lot.
Saiyans in general, they're... Cool. Goku's always true to his character. He's always been about the fight.
Yeah.
He's always been about the thrill, the rush. I was going to ask you, like, in competition, if you ever get... You've never seemed to me as the type of player that would get caught up in the thrill, or the frenzy, I'll call it, when you're acting not your normal self in the heat of competition.
Right, getting overwhelmed or whatever.
I've been talking a lot more shit when we played against the B&D Girls Trash Bags, the Men's League Champions, baby.
Uh-huh.
We beat the Gafflers, and those guys are notorious, just not shit talkers, but whiners, and I think objectively they could say, because in the moment, I start getting petty and saying shit, and they're chirping, they're pulling their old man antics and whatnot. After the game, it's like I come to my senses a little bit. Okay, I'm sorry for what I said, but in the moment, I don't give a f***.
Yeah.
I'm going to say some ruthless shit.
Yeah, cutthroat in the moment. I mean, I'm not opposed to that. Or I'm also not like one to say I haven't ever done that either. Mm-hmm. You know, like.
You're a competitor.
Yeah. I hate losing. Like, I don't even. I've told our players this. Like, I didn't even care about winning as much as I hate losing.
Yeah.
Despise
losing. Avoid it at all times.
Exactly.
At all costs.
Exactly.
Not all costs, because that might compromise your sports philosophy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this player's really good, but at the end of the day, if they're f***ing up, if they think they're better or bigger than the team and their teammates, the discipline is worth a potential loss.
Sure.
The lesson. Exactly. It sucks.
Which should, like, even more hint at, like, where my head is, because, like, I really don't want to lose, but I'm willing to lose if that means, like, this person growing as a human being, you know, like, it's okay for me to lose on a Tuesday Live Oak if that means somebody needs to sit the bench.
What about when you get to the bigs and your job is really, I got this douchebag superstar.
That's say, what, like, it's different.
It's like my job is so dependent different. On this douchebag. Yeah. Where's your talent tolerance? But then does that compromise your team's culture?
Yeah, it's a different game, because like 162 games, like, do you fully expect Bryce Harper to sprint as hard as he can to first base 5 times a game?
Apparently not. He pulled his hammy, didn't he?
Wow. Bingo.
Right. The Phillies are still winning, though.
They're on a roll. It looked really cool today.
What's up?
Did you see their closer came in, and he came in on the big baseball helmet golf cart.
No way.
He was holding an American flag, and he closed at it out against the Mets.
That's clutch.
Awesome. Dude.
I love it. Yeah, real Kenny Powers.
Take a little, show a little screenshot here of that situation.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. Even though I use iMovie, you put on the top layer. I might have to remove.
That's right.
Because that top layer is usually reserved for the tap logo. I like to put a little lower third. Yep. But get it out of the way. Put another PNG up there. A little something.
It's easy. It's just you're layering it just like you would a scrapbook.
You know these things. Production guy.
Yeah.
You are a production value, Ray McIntyre.
Thank you.
So back to Dragon Ball Z, I guess. Yeah. The friends, he's always true to who he is, which I despise, but his character loves the thrill of the fight to the point where him and Vegeta fuse and they are whooping Boo's ass and then they crush their earrings, which I thought was a better fusion, in my opinion. Better fit.
Yeah.
The whole vest thing. I'm like, all right, whatever. You look like Aladdin. But they were whooping his ass to the point where it's like, this isn't fair. We want a fair fight. We want it to be mano a mano at the expense of the universe.
Yeah.
They didn't give a f***. Vegeta
the
and
pride
Goku.
The pride was deeper than that. Yeah.
Vegeta straight up. I don't remember that the last few episodes, but watching it, I guess most recent time, he kind of concedes to Goku, like, you're the one.
Yeah.
You're the best of us. And you kept pushing me and kind of said, hey, you're the alpha.
It's amazing. When's the last time you've seen this?
Honestly, I was looking at a video to send you the other day of Naruto, like some of the best fights.
Yeah.
Because once you're done with DBZ, Naruto is, as much as how mainstream it is the truth.
Okay.
And in certain instances, he wants to hear out the bad guy's story. And sometimes their motivations, what they're doing, it's like, damn, that's just...
Yeah,
and it's Naruto. He's fiercely loyal to his village and stuff, and just every little back character has their own backstory and moral dilemmas and whatnot. It just comes together in such a f***ing awesome story. There's a ton of filler episodes, but by and large, it is DBZ adjacent in how much juice you get.
Okay,
some of the fighting and one of the fights I tried to send you. It's a kid. He does like drunken boxing. Rock Lee. He's a truth. He doesn't have they call it chakra. It's not chi. It's chakra. And he doesn't have access to it, so he's just hella good at taijutsu, just fist fighting and whatnot. Yeah. And he does have his own version of Kaioken. He's like opening up the inner gates. Mm-hmm. But if you do it, you know, if I can f*** yourself up. But it comes from the same kind of cloth that DBZ is from, your inner powers. And the fight, it's against this guy who has like, he's able to like just produce spikes out of his guts and whatnot. It's dope.
Okay.
It's dope. Yeah, I can't wait for you to get on it.
Yeah.
I endorse.
One Punch?
One Punch Man is elite. It is so good.
Shout out to Juice.
Juice?
He was a player for us last year.
Did he get you onto that?
No, that was his favorite ever anime. And he is like...
One Punch Man is f***ing awesome because it makes fun of every anime. It pulls no punches. But it is hilarious. And animation's awesome. As an anime itself, it's dope. But it... Oh, did you give it the time of day?
Haven't yet.
Oh, it is a parody. It's a parody and a half.
I haven't gotten on anime other than DBZ for a while.
It is time.
Because I downloaded Crunchyroll just to watch the English dub of Dragon Ball.
Absolutely.
And then I found out Hulu has all of the Dragon Ball.
I'm a big dub guy.
Everything.
Now. Some people think sub is elite.
And I can't
disagree.
I won't be able to watch. So I'm just
reading. Like the voice actor, the American voice actors.
I do too.
The English speaking voice actors. Who knows what they are?
But One Punch Man, and then what? Have you seen what's the other, the pirate one?
One Piece.
What's your thought? I haven't seen.
I don't have a spare 20 years because I heard it's so long.
Is it really long?
I've heard it's really long, and I'm not a fan of the animation really type. To be completely honest with you,
yeah.
With weird. Dragon Ball, that I have respect for the OG kind of 80s, 90s anime 12 style.
Frames, 12 FPS. But
I need some 1080 FPS or.
You need
1080p.
It's
just like it's too curvy. I like in Dragon Ball Z when they're
rigid.
The muscles, like, the face, like everything's like they're sharp.
There's
lines. I want sharp lines.
I really notice it when they do shading on the face where it's literally lines.
But there's different animation types. I love JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. It's out there. It's awkward. It's wacky, but it is. It's so cool. It's one of my. On my Mount Rushmore favorite animes.
Okay.
It's wild.
All right.
And it's, anyways.
Did you watch Gundam Wing X?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I watched a lot of those. I'm not exactly sure, because there's so many different seasons and variations of Gundam. Yeah. It all kind of flows into one blob.
Sure.
It was just dope seeing mechs go at it. There's one, I don't know if it was Gundam, but the way that the mech operated, the pilot gets like covered in this skin tight elastic and they move like, and then they're like in the chest. Yeah. And when they move, the mech moves with them.
Yeah, that's
so cool.
See, I think the one I watched was like, they have like controls, but same concept of there's the big white one with the blue and red, you know, whatever.
Oh, that's the classic. The
classic. Yep. And then the white or the yellow V on it.
Yeah.
And then you have the saber tooth. There was like a yellow, like four-legged mech.
What Gundam would you have? What would your mech look like if Ray McIntyre had a nice 100-foot robot to climb into and have like machine gun arms, laser swords?
I would love
a baseball bat.
No, like I don't know which Ninja Turtle it is that has the like the daggers with the three the ones longer in the middle. You know?
I think that's Donnie.
So I
wait. No, Raphael, the red. That's it is Raph. It is Raph. It is Raph.
But yes, that I think something like that with like maybe a chain connecting them.
Give yourself a little range.
Yeah,
give yourself
a little range. Bring it out and throw it back.
Any kind of wrist rockets, any sort of projectiles.
Yeah, I think you're going to have, I mean, obviously the jet pack with the booster, but some type of, like, grenade to shoot down or something heavier to shoot down would be nice. But
out of the fists, maybe some kind of Iron Man, the neck rockets, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, heavy trap type deal.
Traps.
Yeah, no, I like them out of the hand a little better.
Out of the fist.
Yeah.
Or out of the palm.
Yeah, a little DBZ action, yeah.
Maybe have like three or four rockets in the forearm. But then, like, what if you get hit in the forearm? This blows up on you. Gotta be good.
Gotta be quicker than that.
Gotta be quicker than that. You gotta get that dollar. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Gundams. Like, that's so funny how it's kind of iconic Japanese lore, just having giant robots.
It's a good time.
I would love to visit Japan. Love to play baseball in Japan.
That'd be sweet.
Why is baseball such a hit in Japan?
It's a different culture. It's just the way they celebrate it and watch it is just different.
They're all into it. It's classic, like 60s baseball.
It's more soccer vibe. Like overseas soccer is the best description I can have. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I wish there was more of that here.
Do you think it's cheaper there to visit a game?
Probably.
My buddy that I worked at the landfill with, old Taylor, old Goy, we call him, his nickname he had for World of Warcraft, took his family and just to go to the Giants game, pay for parking, pay for the tickets on Father's Day. Chicken tenders were no less than $30. Burritos were at least
the tendies.
$35. Like, it was all just a horrifying expense. It's like, how do you expect the fans to have your back if you don't have theirs with how much you're price gouging them? They know people are going to pay for it.
It's hard because you look at a low-budget team like Oakland, you know, and it's like everybody
coming to
talks. Yeah, exactly. And they'll probably make more money and sell more tickets to Sacramento.
Vegas, where people can go to Vegas for a football game, but to see the A's that are going to play there often, it's not going to draw as much of a crowd.
No, but have you seen the renderings?
The renderings look phenomenal.
They look amazing.
But it's going to get hot in there.
It is, but it's not going to be as hot as an outdoor stadium in Vegas.
It
fits with the vibe, dude.
It's a cool vibe, but maybe if Vegas made their own team, not the A's. A's belong in Oakland. Keep them there.
So did the Raiders.
The Raiders belong in Oakland. Oakland... But that was a true
at the same
debacle.
Time, like, look at that f***ing stadium.
Stadium's great.
It's unbelievable.
Just make it a neutral ground for teams to go to. Maybe there's cities that don't have teams, but it's a destination city. Most destination cities have a team. But say Vegas, be like, all right, two teams want to come here at some part of the regular season. Just make, I don't know who would own it, but just make money.
That ownership knew what they were doing. Tanking and not updating that stadium as long as they did. They knew what they were doing.
That was my first NFL game.
Was it?
Good old Daniel Ward. We were his first year, him fresh out of college, everything. Wow. Our first football coach. We went there in RVs, and I remember stepping out into the Coliseum parking lot in the morning. Just like, God, it smells like weed out here.
Weed and sulfur, probably.
Oh, and then I went to the bathroom during the game, and like, it smells like weed in here, too. Yeah. These rascals, don't they know it's against the rules?
Yeah, you can't smoke weed inside. Not in Oakland, brother.
No, it was wild there about it. It was crazy seeing how much harder they run. In-person football is wild.
Yeah.
It's intense. But I happened to go to the, in my opinion, the worst football game ever played. Last year, Vikings v. Raiders in Vegas. 0-0 going into the fourth quarter.
Yo, was that a 6-3 final or something like that?
3-0 final. Professional football game. That's the best they could do. Josh Dobbs, that was the end of his little Linsanity two-game hot streak and then shit all over himself. There's no plays to be excited about. I'm not sure if Justin Jefferson was playing, but it was just horrendous.
Yeah.
Sucked.
Hard to watch.
Very difficult. I was obliterated. I was getting lost going back to my seat. Like, our people sitting next to us had to tell Mo and Sky, like, hey, is your boy lost or whatever? Because I was a section over.
You're vibing.
I was absolutely right. Vibing. But what experience that was. Old Vegas.
Yeah.
Phone good?
Yeah, no, record. I was just making sure. It is always – hey, look, as a guy who used to record a lot –
I'm always checking. It's not that, like, I'm checking time or nothing. I check, make sure we're still recording.
I went wife check real quick and wanted to make sure that the lines are still on.
Wife check?
Yeah, just double check that she didn't have anything.
How's she doing?
She's great.
She good?
Yeah, she's great.
D-Mac.
She's such a hard worker.
That D1 athlete.
Yeah.
My God, where does her work ethic come from? To be a D1 athlete, there's no shortage of discipline.
Yeah, so her parents are both military. So, like, that's definitely a starter, you know. Her dad is, like, her dad could outrun me in a marathon right now. Like,
how much of a savage is this man?
He's a savage. He's legit.
Training every day, like running.
I don't know lately. What's so last time I was out there, we were out there.
West Virginia?
A couple years ago. No, not West. Just Virginia.
Virginia.
They'll fight you over there for the same.
My apologies. My apologies.
But yeah, no, he was running at least a handful of miles a day, it seemed like.
It's good to have a handful of miles.
But he's a hunter and they're out in the they're out in the sticks.
D-Mac hunt?
No, I don't think so. Not that I've never been with her or anything. I don't even know if we've been shooting together actually. But anyways, yeah, she's had to go from smaller town than Winters, a couple hundred people type of town, to the U of A, and that was like just that type of like
culture shock, bro.
Yeah, culture shock for sure. But like to get there, I'm sure your road wasn't easy. You know, like it's hard to get even seen.
She go to JC ball or community college first. She got cream of the crop.
She flew out to a Mike Kondrea camp, who's the head coach at the time. Hall of Fame head coach, flew out to a camp, she went to the pitching coach's camp, who is out there somewhere out there not too far, like South Carolina or something. And then he said you should come out to a Mike Kondrea camp in Arizona, and she flew out and her parents flew her out. They did the camp, and like her speed Razzle alone dazzle. Was like
freak athlete. No matter what, it's not just softball just happened to be your thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think she tackled any other endeavor. Whatever she does,
she does CrossFit now. She's working out with, shout out to Danny and Lil.
Nick goes too?
Nick goes too.
Nick.
Yeah, I'm not a CrossFit guy.
It looks alarming. It looks frightening.
I don't want to do it.
No. Stick to my...
Every time I do CrossFit, I feel like throwing up. And that's like... so far from what I want to do.
No, it's anytime I feel like I'm throwing up, it's not because I'm working out too hard. It's because I have had too much coffee or pre-workout. Like, this, I don't feel good. This brings me no happiness, no joy.
Yeah, we're not taking C4 before a CrossFit workout anymore.
I give myself too many outs where I'll start getting a good sweat, but then I'll go to the bathroom. Not because I have to take a dump or anything, but play my phone a little bit. And like once I cut those out, I find myself having a better quality workout. I was able to get after a little bit today. Yeah. A little leg day.
Nice. You've been crushing the gym. Hey, I'll give you this.
Hey.
You've been crushing the gym for like 3-4 years at least. And that's just since I've been back. So it might have been before that.
It's part of the routine.
It's just life.
Part of the package. It's a lifestyle. It's now. Like you got at least, if not that, go hiking or do a little like yoga session, like something. Be outside. It's, I need to feel like I've done something for me to be able to mark the day as complete. It feels like something's missing, and that brings me anxiety.
Can I ask, so like down the line when you have kids, is that going to be something that's like fully, because like I love playing video games. Like,
oh God,
I still
yes.
to this day love video games. How is that going to adapt your parenting type? Because like, I know I'm going to have a balance too, but yeah. like, how do you, when, like if your son says, I want to be a pro COD player, like, are you going to crack down and be like, get outside? Or like, do you support that? You know what I'm saying?
It's
like,
tough because you can get a scholarship these days.
That's what I'm saying.
Just wait till you beat world, me. Though. God, what if he owns me?
They will at some point.
So something's got to give. There will be less time for autonomy, which is why right now, where I'm at in life, I can play video games. I can get away with this. I can go up and play and snowboard.
Yeah.
Just the work schedule. And I mean, I have the bachelor's deck set in my favor.
Blessings
right?
on blessings on blessings.
Very, so blessed. So very blessed. And I feel like my priorities will change. Right now, I feel like I'm selfish with my time. Sure. I feel like writing will take precedent because when it comes down to it, I would exercise more. But if, say, the day doesn't allow for one, like, am I trying to be a bodybuilder or an author? And so I just sacrifice the time and just accept that my life isn't my own anymore. There's something that matters more. Yeah, and I don't know what that feels like because I haven't experienced it.
It's not there yet. It's okay.
Not there yet. So right now I'm like, I need to, the iron is hot. I'm trying to just smack the shit out of it. And there's got to be baby time. I'm thinking, have the baby maybe on the desk or something while I'm riding.
Yeah,
just try to double dip a little bit.
Yeah.
But when the, I think I'll have a boy. Maybe two boys.
Probably.
When they're hollering or something. You gotta go dad mode.
Yeah.
But it'll be cool. It'll be special. And I just think like anything else in life, just gotta adjust, and it's gonna suck because it's like my me time. There will be no more me time.
I know.
It's you, the wife, and then it's you guys versus the not only the world, but you got this little gremlin now with you.
I obviously don't have kids yet, but for me, when I knew I was getting married and like I was ready to propose, I knew that if I only had one person to hang out in the world with, if it was Eva, I'd be happy.
Eva's it. You're good.
Right,
you're good.
Exactly. So that for me, that was like, okay, that's a separator. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I'm good with it. Whatever happens, happens. But then I see, you know, I love Austin Calvert.
Oh, little Chuck. Little Chuck.
And I love Charlie Brown.
Charlie.
She's the cutest baby.
Big ol' eyes.
And I love Rachel. Like, yep. They're just such a good family.
Absolutely.
And I just see how tired that man gets.
Dude. It takes a toll. It takes a toll.
Oh, my goodness. There's times so damn tired.
There's times, look, I'm not trying to throw Sky under the bus, but he said there's times where Peyton, when she was really little, love my niece, but she's like, she's crying and stuff, and Sky said he just loses it. He's like, just start screaming himself. I think you do.
How's it feel?
You gotta lose it.
Wah!
I think you do have to lose your mind a little bit because part of it belongs to the kid. And the kids drive you crazy. I mean, you gotta be a little crazy to raise a kid. I think as humans, we were talking about mental health earlier off the pod, but I think we're all little
no doubt, dude.
We're humans. We're suffering. That's what we're meant to do.
It's a spectrum for a reason. You know
what I'm saying? Oh, man. But those kids. Like our time will come. I realize I'm a slow test taker. Lessons to me in life have come a lot of times through pain, whether me stepping into a bear trap or just losing someone or whatever. Pain is usually, that's when the lesson needs to be written on your soul. Pain is the f***ing ink and it's just searing into you. I'm like, I wish I could learn it a better way, but that's when the lessons are most profound.
Sure.
In my opinion.
No doubt. I mean, you can't experience happiness without like knowing what sadness is.
So,
you know,
here's what I was thinking of, and that you're absolutely right. They kind of rely on each other to exist.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about the bad guy in the novel I'm writing, like the nightmare. He is, when the bad guys, do they see themselves as evil? Like in their minds, like I have a task, I'm going to complete it. This is my purpose, whatever. The good guys, no, this is objective good or what have you. But when the bad guy's like, I'm not evil or good. I'm doing my thing. And does, I guess in the good guy's mind, if good didn't exist, would evil give a f-? Would it feels like good can't exist without evil, but evil, if it took over, it would just like, all right, we're good.
Yeah, I think it,
ironic as that statement is.
Well, yeah.
Does evil give a f-? Is badness?
It depends on who, what character you're talking about. But like, if you're looking at No Country for Old Men, like that is my.
Anton.
We just saw it not too long ago again.
You inspired me to watch it again when you were saying, "Hey, like, what was the quote from psychologists that have deemed the acting performance closest to that of an actual psychopath was Harvey O'Brien."
Number one was that movie.
Rewatching it, the coin scene
it's
you called
so
out
scary.
I just rewatched it as it, by itself.
Yeah,
like that. What do you
it's
have
so
to lose
good.
To stand?
Yeah, he's like, no, don't put it in your pocket, sir. Then it comes just another coin.
I was like, there's coins here earlier. I was
yeah,
like,
they're over there.
Hold on. Little tap.
Call
little tap.
He goes, call it.
Call it. Call it. And then he gets
well,
hit by a car at the end of the day.
I don't know what I'm calling.
All right.
Calling it for.
Ray McIntyre. Call it.
Well, what am I calling it for?
For everything. Oh, I just called that one. Did you see it?
I didn't
see it. You didn't see it? Okay. Call it. Call it. Say it.
Well, then I guess I'll go with heads.
It's a lucky day.
He goes,
so
he
you
grabs
live.
It. He's like, no, don't put it in your pocket, sir.
And then there's another scene with him and Woody Harrelson where he's like, if you lived your life by that rule and it led you to this, like, what's the point of the rule? It leads
yeah.
to you getting killed by me. And he's like, you don't know how insane you are. Love
yeah.
Woody Harrelson. Always like he has a dip in.
Yeah.
He's like, the nature of things, the nature of you. Like, what are you? He's just this mindless anomaly.
Yeah, there's no, and I think that's what makes that movie so good is there's no sense of like the story was settled. Like, it's just like those people exist, you know?
It's
like,
exists. This is what happened. And Tommy Lee Jones somehow survives.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the Javier Bardem going into the hotel room, killing the guys. He just looks into the shower, blows that guy away. And then he goes into the office building. I still don't quite understand who that guy is and who he kills, the main corporate guy.
Yeah.
But then one of the guys, he's like a secretary or something. He's like, you going to kill me? The guy's like, it depends. Do you see me?
Yeah.
I'm like,
that is such a like hard
do you
ass
see
answer.
Me? Like, what? And like, no,
yeah.
that guy gets blown away.
Yeah.
You're dead.
It's
so
a true
it's,
psychopath.
Would evil even care if good didn't exist? I feel like it's a very disturbing thought that if there was no good, evil doesn't need balance. It's just evil and would exist completely contained.
True, but I think that, again, it goes back to the spectrum of, like, is it a spectrum of good or a spectrum of evil?
Mm-hmm.
Either way, the other one doesn't technically exist. It's just the lack of it, you know? So, like, it's either that person's evil and that person's less evil, which makes them good,
mm-hmm.
or, like, even if you said somebody that just walks, you know, down the street and does their thing and just follows orders and does whatever, like, they're just standing in line I guess that makes them good or less evil.
If you don't know them, I guess it depends on you whether or not you view people as innately good or evil.
Exactly.
What was the Thomas Hobbes and John Locke mm-hmm. we had in high school? Shout out to Arn yeah. Williams.
Arn Williams.
Arnski.
Mr. Williams.
I love how we're going back to the
good teacher.
Teachers, baby.
Good teacher.
I don't know. You've always stricken me as more of a positive guy, half glass full
yeah.
kind of guy.
I'll give you that.
But there's times where I'm just like, man, there's times where I wish the end of the human race.
Yeah.
Well, not so cut and dry, but say I was Thanos.
Yeah.
And everything, say, wasn't random, but I got to pick and choose. Starting with
right.
rapists.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry,
right.
I would add up my list.
Yeah, there's, and it's like, I think that's why the older I get, the more I don't watch the news too often for the same reason.
Jesus.
Like, the more things you read, you're like, man, as a kid, I never even thought of that. Like, I can't believe my parents let me, and it's winters, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
Can't
but
believe
still,
my parents used to let me walk down the street to fourth grade with my second grade brother. That's crazy.
To the middle school, or to
elementary.
Wagner? That's across town.
We used to walk to Wagner.
You and Joe would walk together?
We'd walk from the other house. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was in fourth grade, we started walking.
But, I mean, different time. And if you trust your community, in a perfect world, that's not an issue. That's never
sure.
an issue.
Sure, it's not.
Because you got a community that's looking out for you.
Like, would I worry about it when I have kids and they're 4 and 2?
Absolutely.
Probably. But at a certain point, like, if you're both working in the morning, my dad's commuting at 5 a.m. to San Francisco. My mom has to get to work at 7:30.
Your pops are working in San Francisco?
Bro, my dad used to commute because he'd do construction in the city.
Would he take the ferry or drive all the way over there?
No, it'd depend on the day, but they'd meet and they'd carpool down.
Holy shit, dude. Yeah, how many years did he do that?
It wasn't always the city, but it was a long time.
How is your dad so chill after that many? I can't imagine how many hours that is in traffic. In Bay Area traffic, no less.
And then getting home and having to hit fly balls to my ass, you know what I'm saying?
That's probably why he's chill. Because, all right, Ray can perform. He'll give me some outlet seeing my boy, do his thing.
So that's why for me, I look back and I'm like, it's always worth giving that time, because I will always remember that. That man gave – the last thing he wanted to do was be outside.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd go outside 100 degrees and hit me
just go to work.
Till I said stop. Yeah. It's insane.
That's why I forget who I was listening to. Some other podcast, but somebody's saying, I'm watching my kid on the playground and then I have to go and dust off some other kid I saw fall off the monkey bars or something because their parent – their focus is on their phone.
Yeah.
So what's the point of even – having your kid and not watching them play, you don't know if somebody's gonna sneak up and snatch them. That happens.
No, I know, the negligence.
I'm already paranoid. I'm scared for the kids these days.
Yeah.
Different
world for sure, though.
Very much so. But I'm very thankful for my cousin and her husband, the way they're raising their kids, very China. Not a lot of tech, if any.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their little tablets and stuff, but they're. Their face isn't in their phone. They like being outside. Jackie's reading comic books and stuff. It's good. Naturally curious.
It's a good thing.
As much as it was devastating, because I grew up playing video games. Loved the N64. Out the gate, Game Boy Pocket. Benny and Debbie put the kibosh to free-range video games. Yeah, I had to wait till the weekends. That was the mandate.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, we're in communism now. We're in a fascist household, Benny and Debbie. Saved my life, most likely, just instead of... I was sucked into it and going out. I'm glad we went outside. There's so much to do.
Yeah.
I think
if you're stuck to your screen when you're a child, you're going to have a hard time when you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And
Social ineptitude, I can't blame a parent. I mean, I can. After a long day of work and your kid is going crazy and the phone keeps them quiet, gives you peace.
Right.
But that's exactly what the phone, they're supposed to, these kids are going to be growing up. These phones will be their siblings.
Yeah. When we have them, you're going to have them at a certain point. It's going to be, if it's all Neuralink, you're going to have screens attached to your eyeballs.
Right? We're going to see some wild technological shit before we're done on this earth.
Yeah. And imagine our parents bitching about the cell phones. How am I supposed to tell Timmy to take his f***ing AR?
Timmy's gonna be, off? You're gonna see him looking off into the distance, just watching porn in his mind. Just
that's what I'm saying, dude. Chill out on it.
Chill out on that porn.
That's at a certain point, we'll be gone, and
now we'll be able to upload our consciousness into clones.
I think when
people are talking about trying to engineer bodies or begin a de-aging process or be immortal. We're supposed to be here for a finite amount of time.
I agree.
That's what makes us us.
I agree.
We appreciate the present. If there is no longer any present, then what's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point?
If there's literally always a tomorrow.
Yeah. That's why nobody likes elves.
Fuck them.
The dwarves hate the elves. Yeah, they're arrogant douchebags.
Yeah, they live forever and they bang their little wooden mallets.
Just kidding.
Just kidding.
Oh, what was I going to ask? God bless it. Have you ever seen the movie In Time with Justin Timberlake?
Mm.
So the concept is...
Oh, yes, I have.
Yeah.
Right.
The wrist?
Yes.
Time as currency, that is something that I would expect to be a novel first and then turn into a movie.
It is
so intense.
What a great concept.
Cillian Murphy's in it, I think. He's like the cop, hunt him down.
It's insane, dude, because that's just that's kind of it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just are living on borrowed time, bro.
Borrowed time, or just so affluent you're alive for one guy. Oh, I've been 25 years old for 84 years. You know,
yeah.
It's just, if time doesn't matter, I don't know. That's why I like we never know. Maybe an asteroid's going to come and just whack us all. That's why I like that. You can't live in the present if you don't care about it.
So
some people don't. They just want to be on their phones in the couch.
Yeah.
Zoned out.
Different life.
I want to feel like I want to earn my laziness.
I don't need my life to be laziness. I want that time to be okay, I got my chill. I earned my chill time.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
I don't need to be sitting in the Wall-E people person. We're on that.
Big glimpse in the future.
Yeah.
On that trajectory.
We are on that trajectory, brother.
I should have brought my regular podcast equipment, dude. This has turned into more than low budget quality. Fantastic. How's your battery life doing?
We're doing all right.
Chilling?
But,
this is my own iPhone 4, I think.
Yeah, I'm a little few after that.
Got some juice.
Do we want to kind of get our closing statements and
absolutely. Whip up the barbecue baseball, it's 4th of July. Gratitude. I wrote some down the other day and I checked the date. The last one was like over a month. I guess I'm not grateful. Yeah. I don't know where it's 4th of July, Independence Day. What freedoms are you thankful for, or something maybe you take for granted?
Sure, like
anything comes to mind. Fourth of July is a big effing deal.
Yeah, just, you know, grateful to be able to get out and choose what we get to do every day. Mm-hmm. Like being able to work with the athletes and winners, and like, you know, just being able to go out on a ball field means a lot. We talked to our guys about the national anthem. We were fortunate enough to play at the Rivercast Stadium where we did it, and we had a couple national anthems throughout the year. And it's like, look, when you're the guy wobbling along during the national anthem and you're not just locked in and just breathing for a little bit, it seems disrespectful from an outside view. And especially if you're one of those, you know, if you have served and you're seeing there looking at a kid, not disrespecting the flag, but it seems like it, right? Because they're just not focused. It means a lot. So for everyone seems to have some connection to the military, whether it's family or second family or whatever, everyone's at least somehow involved in, you know, what they've done for us to have the freedoms we do. It's just, it means so much. And so you try and instill that in our players, that like, just understand, like, it wasn't always like this, you know, like it's not always going to be, you know, sunshine and rainbows. There hasn't been a war in a while, you know, so feel grateful for what we have. And
freedom helps with being grateful, but it also... people take it for granted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of gratitude, they take it for granted.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It does. So, just excited to have you here, man. And kicking with
you.
We're
out here.
Great.
Like, hey, the freedom to be able to do this, say what we want.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe the YouTube algorithms.
Slicing
throttling the tap. Who knows? Because all these crazy podcast guests I have on and whatnot. But just be able to... say what we say, and just being able to talk to people at the landfill, and for the government, in my opinion, is separate from this country. This country and what it really is, I think, is communities, people helping each other out. We see that a lot in winners, but when people are doing genuinely good things for one another, that to me, because it's so easy to get wrapped up in how shitty people are.
Right.
For me, it's like seeing people just be good for the sake of being good.
Yeah.
Because it just lifts people up. I got the landfill. Shout out to, they're not a... not a sponsor, but to the Dump Ninja.
Okay.
They come out. It's this guy, Jeremy, comes out with his kids. He's just a waste removal service. He has his paint all decaled, his trailer decaled, pink and black, dope colors.
Yeah.
And he always brings his kids in. One, Bam Bam, gotten to know him a little bit.
Nice.
And his like daughter reached out. They're all like under 10 years old, dope kids. And they gave me the little neck loop thing that has the fans on it.
Oh,
this
nice.
This is yesterday.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, just give it to me when we're done dumping or whatever. He dumps. I'm like, all right, here you go. He's like, I'll get you next week or next time I'm out here. He's just like, it's 112, cool. Bro. It's just that shit.
Yeah.
The Manny Garcia shit. These people that just do it because it's the right thing to do.
The right thing to do.
And they, yeah, it's like, yeah, you have the freedom to be a dick. Do whatever you want, but they choose to do it because that's why. So these dope people out here that remind us why, you know, they're what make this country great. Not our government, not the stuff that upsets us.
No doubt.
It's these people. Ray McIntyre. You one of them, bro.
Hey, thanks a lot, sir. Bungie.
Let's have some brewskis and beers.
Yeah,
brewskis and burgers.
The fourth.
There we go. All right, have a good 4th of July episode.
Bye, guys.
Chow now. It's 2 hours. Hour 57. We got
you lose. Good day, sir.